troubled? Why do you doubt in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself? No, I am. To the seeker, the woman at the well, I am is the answer to her need. To the disciples in the boat, scared out of their mind, fearful, the answer to their need is I am. To the unbeliever in John chapter 8, the answer to their unbelief is I am. To the uncertain in the upper room, the answer to their uncertainty is I am. The Lord Jesus' enemies, the answer is I am. To the doubtful, it's I am. The great I am will meet every single need of the human heart. And this is the person we're talking about. God become flesh. But what do we know about him from our passage? Well, we know first of all he's creator. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the firstborn of all creation. Does that mean he was born? No. The word firstborn can sometimes mean first in time, but very often, and much more importantly, first in status, first in importance. And so our Lord Jesus is designated here by Paul as being where the whole cosmos, the whole creation is concerned. Jesus is above it all. Why? Because he was responsible for it all. Let us make man in our own image, God says in Genesis. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were there at creation. And didn't they have fun? Do you think of it? He's the, a little poem here, which has blessed me over the years, reminds me that our Lord Jesus was the creator of everything, the maker of the universe, as man for man was made a curse. The claims of laws which he had made, unto the uttermost he paid. His holy fingers formed the bough where grew the thorns that crowned his brow. The nails that pierced his hands were mined in secret places he designed. He made the forest where there sprung the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. The sky that darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth was spread. The sun that hid from him its face, by his decree was poised in space. The spear revealing precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid was hewn in rocks his hand had made. And the throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years. But a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him will bow. He's creator. But what else do we find here? He's the head of the body, the church. We don't have time to go into this, but we do know that he is. If he's head of creation, he's also head of the church, the body. And you and I need to remember this, particularly when we're making plans, particularly when we're anxious about the future, particularly when we are confused with what's going on. We can turn and look into the face of our Lord God and we say, Jesus, it's your church. You are the head of the body. Therefore, we don't need to be uncertain. We don't need to be fearful. We don't need to be speculative. We don't need to wonder what's going to happen next. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What's the next word? It's the word reconciler. Through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. That's an interesting thing, to reconcile all things, to bring everything back into line, to bring everything into focus. Everything suffered at the fall, you will remember. Not just Adam and Eve bringing sin onto the shoulders of the people who are going to follow them, but the very earth itself suffered. You can't imagine a tsunami in the Garden of Eden, or an earthquake, or a volcano. Can you? No, of course you can't. When Paul wrote his letter to the Romans, he said this, and I'm reading this from the Message. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. For all creation is waiting and hopefully for that future day when God will resurrect his children. For on that day, thorns and thistles, got that? Sin, death and decay, the things that overcame the world against its will at God's command will disappear, and the world around us will share in the glorious freedom from sin which God's children enjoy. Yeah, everything is at loggerheads at the moment, but our Lord Jesus came to get rid of that and to bring reconciliation, to reconcile to himself all things, whether in earth or heaven, but also to reconcile us, because we were at loggerheads with God. And he takes the initiative towards reconciliation. He reestablishes the friendship. He settles the dispute. He brings acceptance. He makes everything compatible because he's the reconciler. But he's also peacemaker. He made peace through his blood shed on the cross. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he was doing two things. He was making a sacrifice for sin, but he was also bearing the sin. You get it in Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he's going to make peace through his blood shed on the cross. Contentment, well-being, soundness, closeness, safety, all comes to people like you and me because our Lord Jesus went to the cross. But I guess really what you'd ask me to speak about, I haven't really, or have I? Verse 18, that in everything he might be preeminent, that he might be first. In all our considerations, in all our dealings, in all our thoughts, words and actions. One of the most dedicated Christian women of the 19th century was a woman called Frances Ridley Havergal. She was quite an amazing person. She really was. She began reading and memorizing the Bible at the age of 4. How about that? She memorized the Psalms, Isaiah, most of the New Testament. At the age of 7, she started writing poetry. And a little bit later on, she gave the church hymns like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Who is on the Lord's side? Do you know that one? She had an amazing singing voice. It was concert standard. She was also a brilliant pianist. She learned quite a number of modern languages, and she also learned Hebrew and Greek. But with all her vast education, and really and truly she could have gone anywhere with all that lot, she stayed simple and very, very focused. So much so that maybe we need to quote some of the other words she said. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thy own. It shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasured store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for Thee. That's going to be one of my prayers for the next year for myself. Would you join me? Let's sing our closing hymn, shall we? Number 266. 266. I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his heart a love upon the sons of men. But this I know. Let's stand and sing, shall we? Things were really grim in this country. King George VI was preparing a speech for the Christmas Day, and his young daughter came in with a poem and presumably said, Daddy, this might be suitable for your speech. And he included it. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he said to me, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. Let's pray. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And we pray now that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit may be with us now and always. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your fellowship today. God bless you.